Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
For that, I want to read you some familiar verses this morning. And when I get to the main part of the message this morning, I've used these 3 points in the main part of the message before here. But I want to give you some thoughts this morning and give you something out of the introduction this morning that maybe will help us and give us what we need. Amen. And we're living in different days, and I don't have to spend no great deal of time talking to you about that. We're living in different days, but I sure am glad that we're not serving a different God. Amen. He said, I'm the Lord thy God, and I change not. Even though days may change, and even though society may change, I'm glad we're serving a Savior that never changes today. Amen. And I just want to be a help to you this morning, and maybe we can learn something out of God's Word today. Let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. And I want to read you a few verses. Job 23, the Bible said in verse number 1, then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Now, pay attention to what he says in verse number 3. All that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. Job is in a pursuit of God right here. He said, all that I knew where I could find God at. Job's in the middle, and I'll say a whole lot more about this in the introduction, but Job is in the middle of a major trial in his life. And Job said, I'm at a place where I wish I knew where I could find God at. He goes on to say this, I would order my cause before him. He said, I will fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered from my judge. Note what he says in verse 8. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. Boy, I like verse number 10. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Father, I love you today, and Father, we stand in a place where in the arm of the flesh we'll do nothing but fail today. God, I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't stand in the flesh today, but God, that we would be anointed by the Holy Spirit of God. I pray, Lord, that you touch every heart that's here today. God, I really believe, God, that you want to do a work in someone's heart today. And God, I pray that you would do that. God, I pray, Lord, that the words that I say today, God, would not be my own words, but God, that they'd be inspired by you and ordered by you. Father, I pray, Lord, that God, that you'd do a work, God, that only you can do. God, I can't do it within myself. And God, I'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. Get on a look here in the book of Job in chapter 23. We'll take our text from there in just a little while. I want to talk to you just a little bit in the introduction about what's going on in Job's life. When you come to the book of Job, you'll find that in the first 3 chapters, you'll learn about Job's distress. In chapter 4 through chapter 37, there's Job's defense. But in chapter 38 through chapter 42, you'll find that there is Job's deliverance. In other words, this trial that Job is in, this hardship that Job is faced with, and Job is dealing with here, God does bring him out of it one day. Amen. And can I just say to you today, I sure am thankful that the storms of this life are not meant to destroy us, but they're meant to mold us and to make us into what God would have us to be. And thank God the storm didn't come to last forever, but one day God will bring us out of it. When you come here in the book of Job, you'll find right in the very beginning that Job and the devil has a conversation. Satan comes before the Lord and presents himself before the Lord. The book of Job reveals the animosity that Satan has for God and for those who are godly. It also shows us, though, that God places a limitation upon Satan when it comes to Satan messing with his children. In other words, Satan cannot sift you unless God allows him to sift you. You see, Satan comes before God to present himself before God, and God says to Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" Satan didn't go to God to ask permission to attack Job. God gave Satan permission to attack Job. Evidently, God saw something in Job, and God knew that he could trust Job, amen, in the midst of his storm. When you study this out, you'll find that all throughout the book of Job that Satan is sifting Job. But you know, there is never one time that Job makes mention of Satan's name. Can I say that to you again? There's never one time that Job makes mention of Satan's name. You see, a lot of times our problem is this. We spend more time talking about Satan attacking us than the good Lord that can deliver us from our midst. Oh boy, the devil's on my back today. Somebody holler amen, all right? The devil's on my back today. Oh, it's awful. It's bad. You just don't know how much. Time out. Are you breathing? Hello, Tokyo. Have you got breath in your lungs today? Did God wake you up? Are you hearing me today? Job focuses on God instead of the devil. Job teaches us that God has a path for us to follow, and that sometimes that path may be extremely difficult, but if we'll stay faithful to God, then God has a blessing out of it. I'm reminded of what Paul said. He said this, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Here's what Isaiah said in chapter number 55. He said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thought than your thought." I've said this many times, but let me say it again. If we could figure God out, just how big of a God would God be? God is saying this to us today. My ways, the way I do things, the way I conduct myself, is not the same ways of you. In other words, God is higher than we are. God is holier than we are. God has never made a mistake. Even though we may not understand, God is still God. I read a story this week and found it very interesting. On August the 2nd, 1997, there was a 39-year-old man named James Aliff, and he was a unemployed construction worker. He found himself in a tight spot one morning because when he came to, he was laying face down on a railroad track. The Chicago Times said that it was thought that he had been drunken the night before and was walking his dog and fell in a drunken stupor. Whenever he woke up that morning on those railroad tracks, though, he discovered he was not alone, because he heard a great sound, and above him was a 109-cart train going over him. He was laying in the tracks. He was face down, and here's what he said while he was in the hospital. "I got a headache, let me tell you." And I thought about that. I thought, yeah, you big dummy. Anybody would have a headache after they fell onto the railroad track. And he went on to say this. He said, "About every 3 to 4 seconds, an axle from a train car would come along and crack me upside the head." In other words, while he was laying there, that axle from the train car every once in a while would hit him on the side of the head. And here's what he was saying: "I've got a headache because of that." You know, I thought about this whenever I read that. I bet there was times while he was laying there and 109 carts passed over top of him. I bet there was times while he was laying there that it was just like that. Maybe he was in a mill or in a grinder and his head was being thrown back and forth and back and forth, and there was no way out, it appeared to him. Has there ever been that time in our life where it seems that that's exactly where we're at? One storm comes by and knocks us in. Another storm comes by and knocks us in. We think we're going to get out of it, and all of a sudden, we're knocked down again. I thought about this. You have problems with no solutions. Your questions have no answers. Your conflicts have no resolutions. Your needs have no provisions. Your doubts create confusion and suspicion. Miscommunication, misunderstanding, mistreatment, and misinterpretations have left you feeling all alone and in the middle of the dark, and just like you're in a grinder, being thrown back and forth and back and forth. I thought about what Paul said. He said this in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." You see, the trials of our life are inevitable. I thought about this. When you study Job's life, you'll find out that this trial challenged his faith. Trials will challenge our faith. We will come out of the storm either a better Christian or a bitter Christian. They challenge our faith. Why does God allow this to happen? We've been told so many times that we've been told so many, I don't have to worry about another. We didn't have the choir. I got 15 minutes extra today. We've been told so many times, Brother Lloyd, that we can't ask God why. It's a sin to ask God why. I say you're wrong in that, because Jesus Christ himself said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" It becomes sin when we falsely accuse God. But over 200 questions is asked in the book of Job. The Bible said Job was a perfect man and feared God and eschewed evil. Nowhere do you find in the book of Job that Job turns his back on God. I'm telling you something, trials will challenge your faith. Trials will change your face. Whenever Job's friends come to him in this book, you'll find out that they didn't even know it was Job. Let me tell you the reason why. Some people can hide their emotions, but some can't. Some people, they can walk in church, and I know, don't nobody get mad right now, okay? But I know better than to ask them how they're doing that day. Because their face says, "You ask me, and I'm going to let you have it." They just cannot hide their emotions. Evidently, Job was that way, because his friends, trials, it'll challenge your faith. It will change your faith, I thought about this. Trials will reveal the true character of your friends. I'm headed somewhere. It will reveal the true character of your friends. When everything's going south, who's there for you? That's your true friends. Job found out that he really didn't even have no true friends because they come to him and said, well, Job, evidently you've sinned. That's the reason you're going through this, Job. It's all your fault. Job had done nothing wrong. But can I say this to you, and then I'll preach to you. Trials, let me tell you what trials will do. Trials will confirm your foundation. Trials will confirm who you really are. It's so easy to say God is good when everything's okay. When the doctor says everything's fine, the health report is fine, there's food in the cupboard and everything's going all right, it's easy to say God is good. But you let the wind start blowing and you let the rain start pouring and you let the bad doctor report start coming in and let's see where you're at then. It'll confirm your foundation. Here's what Job said. As he closed out chapter number 1, when he closes out chapter number 1, you that knows your Bible knows the story. He's lost everything at the end of chapter number 1. He woke up one day and was fine, went to the altar, sacrificed to God, and worshiped God, got up from worshiping God, and guess what happened? Somebody comes to him and says, all 10 of your kids are dead. All 10 of them are dead. Another one comes to him and says, guess what? This 7,000 flock is dead. This 3,000 flock is dead. This 500 yoke of yoke of oxen is dead. These 500 she asses are dead. And they go right down through everything that he's got in his life, and it's all taken away from him in just the matter of a few moments. I'm not talking about he just lost one kid. He lost 10 in one death notification. 10 at one time. He loses his finances. He loses his family. He loses his flesh. Are you hearing me preach this morning? He's got boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And here's what he said in Job chapter number 1 and verse number 20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground. And look what he does. Worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job looked back to his birth. He said, naked came I from my mother's womb. He looked ahead to his death. And he said, naked shall I return. And then he looked up to his father. And he said, the Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. But blessed be the name of the Lord. See, he looked back to the day he was born and to the day he was going to die. And he said, from the day I was born until the day I die, if I make it, it will be because of God. I thought about this, and then I'm going to give you these three little thoughts, and we'll go home out of chapter 23. It was a beautiful sunny day. I was sitting at the house, and I wasn't sitting at the house. I never just sit at the house. I'm always doing something. I can't just sit. Every once in a while, my wife will say, Brother Lord, why don't you just sit down? Well, I can't just sit down, okay? That's not the way I'm wired. I'm not geared that way. I've got to be doing something, okay? I was doing something and my phone rung, and it was our county dispatch, and they said, hey, can you help with a certain situation? And I said, I'll be glad to. I said, where do I need to go? And they said, just go to the county morgue and we'll meet you at the county morgue. I said, okay. And I'll never forget that day I got over there, and the first person I talked to was Miss Rachel. Miss Rachel come out, and I said, hey, fill me in on everything that's going on. What's happening? What's the deal? Before I go in here and talk to this family and take them in to see a family member, I want to know everything that's going on. So her and I talked for about 5 or 6 minutes and cried for about 10 minutes. And I told her, I said, you got to pull yourself together so we can go in here and talk to this family. And she said, you got to pull yourself together so we can go in here and talk to this family. So we pulled ourselves together. We took a family in, and I can't call no names or anything. But we took a grandfather in and his grandson. had been involved in a tragic accident. His daughter was with him, which was his grandson's mom. We took him in that day, and Miss Vicki, you know how those trips are. You know, they never get easy. No matter how many you do, they never get easy. We took him in that day, and I'll never forget, as we walked in, Miss Rachel and I kindly stepped over to the side, and I'll never forget that grandfather. He walked over there, he looked at his grandson, he looked at his daughter, he put his arm around his daughter, and then he laid down over his grandson like this. And I thought, well, what's he going to do next? And here was the next words. God. And when he said that, he knew who he was talking to. I'd never met this individual. He said, God, I just want to thank you. And when he said that, me and Rachel was done. We busted out crying. We were supposed to be the ones holding it all together. They wasn't no holding it together at that moment. He said, I just want to thank you for all the time you let me have my grandboy. God, I want to thank you for all the memories that we have. God, I just want to praise your name. And that gentleman prayed a hole in the sky that day. And then he said, me and my daughter's going to need some help. Now, God, you help us today. I know you're going to. Amen. And turned around and went out of the room. Let me tell you what he was saying. Here's what he was saying. I'll bow my head and I'll worship in the midst of this storm. Job is in a place that was even greater than that gentleman that day. Everything Job's got is gone. His wife says, curse God and die. I'm not just talking about her, but she could have given a little bit more of encouragement to him. She says, curse God and die. His friends have accused him of all of these things he's done wrong because of this trial. I've already said it. He's got boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. All of his animals, which was his wealth of that day, was the way that he made his living. So all of his finances is gone. Everything in Job's life is upside down. Here's what he says. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. Job said, if I could just find God right now. Can I say something to you this morning? There'll be times in our Christian life that we don't understand what's going on. And we don't understand why the rain is pouring like the rain is pouring. And I'm not talking about a rain outside. I'm talking about the storms in our life. We're trying to serve God. We're trying to live for Him. We're trying to do what's right. We're trying our best to raise our family in the admonition of the Word of God. And then all of a sudden, it seems that everything goes wrong. We'll go down on a bended knee and we'll say, Lord, I need your help. And it will seem as the heavens are brass. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. Job says, if I could just talk to the Lord for just a little while. I want to give you three simple things on what to do when it seems everything's gone. What to do when it seems everything's gone wrong? I believe the Bible tells us what to do. So many times, please don't misunderstand me right here, but so many times, here's the first thing we do. We pick up our phone and we call Billy and we say, hey, Billy, I need you to pray for me right now. There's nothing wrong with that, but let me say a few things. Before we pick up that phone, have we went to the Word? Have we went to the author of the Word? Have we talked to Him any at all? So many times we want to run to everybody else, and we want everybody else to pray, and we want somebody to give us the answer to everything that's going wrong in our life. Hey, here's what we're supposed to do. Job gives us an example of what to do when everything's gone wrong. Now, I'll spend more time in the introduction than I will in the message. Number one, if you write in your Bible, you've already got this. But God said, just remind us of it this morning. Number one, can I tell you what to do? Look in verse number 8. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. Are you ready? But, Job, you would probably appreciate if I'd stand still, wouldn't you, Miss Cassie? She's back there getting a cramp in her hand trying to follow me this morning. I usually stay right here, don't I? Job looks on his left. He looks on his right. He looks in front of him. He looks behind him. In other words, he's been all the way around him. And he says, God's nowhere around. He says, I'm pursuing God. I wish I knew where I could find him. I've looked all around me, but I cannot find him. But he didn't stop there. He says in verse number 10, but, in other words, there's some more to the story. But he, who is he? The one he's pursuing, which is God. But he knoweth the way that I take. Here's number one. When you don't know what to do, you just remember the omnipresence of God. He knows where you're at. I've said this a million times, but let me say it again. I'd rather not know where God was at than God not know where I'm at. But God knows where I'm at. He's omnipresent today. He's everywhere at the same time. And at the same time, he's everywhere. I thought about this. Listen to what the Bible said. The Bible said this in Psalms 139. Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the othermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. You know what the psalmist is saying? It don't matter where we go. It don't matter the amount of fear that we may be in, or how bad the storm may be. The psalmist is saying that God is there. I said, preacher, I can't feel him right now. That don't mean he ain't there. That don't mean he ain't there. Are you hearing me? The other day, matter of fact, a week ago, yesterday, I was helping him with a live burn, and me and a guy by the name of Eric Southern was in a room, and I went out to get a torch to come back in to set the fire again. It was a controlled burn. We was doing it for training. Okay, let me clarify that. First, somebody says I went and burned a house down. And Brother Mac, whenever I went back into that room with that torch, you know the way it is, man, it was pitch black, and I hollered, and Eric never did say nothing, and I run straight into him. You know what? He was right there, but I just couldn't see him. I couldn't feel him. I didn't even hear him. Oh, but when I hit him, I knew he was there. There'll be times in your life where it's so dark it seems that God's nowhere around. You may even holler out, and it seems that he does not answer. But he said this, draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to you. I sure am glad that in the midst of the darkest hours of my life, I've bumped into God. He's omnipresent. Number one, remember he's omnipresent. Number two, realize the outcome of the trial. Note what he said. Note what he said in verse number 10. But he knoweth the way that I take. I've read this, I've preached this, but I've seen it a whole nother time this week. When he hath tried me, Know what he says. There's a word that I'm interested in. When he hath tried me, somebody tell me that next word. Okay, now that you know it, let's all say it. I come forth as gold. Time out. Job's still trying to find God. God hadn't spoke to Job yet. God's still in the midst of his storm. Or Job's still in the midst of his storm. Job's still fighting the battle. Job's friends are still falsely accusing him when you study this out. But you know what Job says? I'm coming out of this thing. I shall. And know what he says? Come forth as gold. You know what Job is saying? By faith, I'm going to go ahead and thank God that I'm going to come out of this thing a better Christian instead of a bitter Christian. You say, preacher, I'm still in my storm and I'm starting to get bitter. You need to realize the outcome of your trial depends a lot upon you. Job could have bucked up on God right here and got mad at God right here and got bitter towards God right here, and the end of the book of Job would have been completely different than what it is right here. The outcome of your trial depends a lot on you. Depends a lot on you. What did Job say? He said, I shall come forth as gold. I've made reference to this so many times, but in the last 6 months. But Daniel chapter number 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego tells King Nebuchadnezzar, we're not going to bow. It don't matter if you throw us into a fiery furnace. We're not going to bow to your God. And he says, well, if you don't, then I'm going to throw you in. And here's what they say. Even if you do, our God will deliver us from it. Then the next verse they say this, But if not, we're still not going to bow to your God. You see, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not make up their mind. Are you hearing me? They did not make up their mind when they got to the fiery furnace that they wouldn't bend. They made up their mind way before they ever got to the fiery furnace. You're going to have to make up your mind right now. No matter what comes in your life, no matter how bad the storm is, no matter what tragedy may strike, that with the help of God, you will come out of this thing as gold. Job remains faithful. And I don't have time to preach this, but when you go to chapter 42, Job's storm comes to an end. Chapter 1, he's got 7,000 sheep. Chapter 42, he's got 14,000. Chapter 1, he's got 3,000 camels. Chapter 42, he's got 6,000 camels. Chapter 1, he's got 500 yoke of oxen. Chapter 42, he's got 1,000 yoke of oxen. Chapter 1, he's got 500 she-asses. Chapter 42, he's got 1,000 she-asses. Chapter 1, he's got 10 children. Chapter 42, he's got 20 children. God doubled what Job had. Why? Because he remained faithful. I'll give you this and I'll give you the last point and we'll be done. All throughout the book of Job, there's not but three of Job's kids named that we know their name. And it's the closing of chapter 42. We are told his three daughters' names. Here they are. This will make you thankful for your names. Karen Hapuk, Keziah, and Jemima. Listen to this. Jemima, whenever you study it out, you see in Bible days, they just didn't give out names. They meant something. It means day or dove. God has turned darkness to light in Job's life. Keziah means fragrance. God has replaced the stench of loss with the fragrance of victory. But then Karen Hapuk, boy, I like Jonathan. Karen Hapuk is a box of eye paint. And whenever you study it out, It's the same word that is used in Exodus chapter number 32 that describes Moses' face when the glory of God radiated from his face in Exodus 32. And here's what Job is saying when he names Karen Hapuk. All the gloom that I have been through, I stayed faithful to God, and now my gloom has been turned into glory. And I can still praise God. Why? Because he remained faithful. You need to realize the outcome of your trial depends on you. You say, preacher, I need to understand it. Job never understood his trial. At the end of it, Job knows no more about his trial than he does at the beginning. But you know what we find? In the beginning, Job's praising God. At the end, Job's praising God. And in the middle, Job's praising God. Realize the outcome. Come start playing softly if you don't care. Number three, I give you this in closing. Preacher, what do I do when everything's going on? You remember the omnipresence of God. Realize the outcome of your trial. Can I say something to you? Why did Job remain faithful in realizing that outcome? How could he say? He said that by faith. I don't know if you're getting that or not. He's in the midst of his storms, and he says, I'm going to come out of this thing as gold. Here's the reason why. I hope you'll get what I'm fixing to say. Job may have been in the storm, but the storm wasn't in Job. Can I say that again? Job may have been in the storm, but the storm wasn't in Job. You see, you may be in the storm this morning, but that storm doesn't have to be in you. You got a God that's living inside of you. You realize the outcome. You remember the omnipresence, but I give you this in closing. Look what he said in verse number 11. It's all right here, all in the text. My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Can I say this to you? Number three, you just remain obedient to God's word. He said, I'm just going to stay with what God says. I'm going to stay with it. Listen to me. I promise you I won't help you. Listen to me. When you're in the storm, it's not a time to sit at the house. It's time to be in the church. You don't know what I'm going through, preacher. You better remain obedient to this book. That service you missed may have been the service that God was going to kick a honey bucket over on your soul and give you victory of what you've been going through. But you decided to let the storm be in you. And we find ourselves withdrawing from God. He remained obedient to God's word. He stayed with the book. He stayed with the book. Years ago, I don't guess I've ever told this. And I hope it's okay. If it's not, Miss Tanya's been mad at me before. Years ago, one Sunday, Miss Tanya was sick. She couldn't come to church. Josh came on to church and I went home after service, sit down at the house, and started to eat. Brother Josh called me in a panic. He said, preacher, something's wrong. And I said, what's wrong? He said, it's Jesse. That was Miss Tanya's dad at the time. Still Miss Tanya's dad. He's just in heaven today. And I said, okay, Brother Josh, I said, won't you come to the house and get me? Brother Josh had went actually to Miss Helen and Brother Jesse's. And I said, I'll go with you to get Miss Tanya. And he said, okay. Josh came to the house and I told Josh, there wasn't either one of us in any shape to drive, but I felt like I was a little bit better in shape to drive. And I told Brother Josh, I said, let me drive if you don't mind. We drove to Miss Tanya and Brother Josh's house in Mountain Park. I'll never forget it. Walked in, and I had to tell Miss Tanya that her dad had went home to be with the Lord. Not in an ugly way, Brother Josh was with me. I pretty much carried Miss Tanya out, put her in the truck, and we came back to her mama's house. We sat down in there. People came by. I don't remember. I'm sure Brother Robert came by that day and different ones. That evening, everybody had kindly left, and it was just us. Some families I don't stay that long with just because they don't want you to. You're not that close to them, but some families do. I had eaten dessert in that house. Every Sunday, for years. One Sunday I went in and Jesse said, I got you a cherry pie today, preacher. I said, I can't wait to eat it, Jesse. I said, give me a piece of it with some ice cream on it. I got that cherry pie. He was so happy to give me that cherry pie. I took a big bite of that cherry pie. I made about two or three cuts on it. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And all of a sudden, I hit something hard, Brother Tim, and I thought, I've broke my tooth. What in the devil is in this? And Jesse he laid back in that recliner and just died laughing. And I said, Jesse, he said, I forgot to take the seeds out of the cherries, preacher. And he just died laughing. It's a wonder it didn't break my tooth. Everybody had left, and I still with the family because we was that close. And I told him, I said, I'm going to go now. I said, but before I go, others had prayed with us. I said, but before I go, we need to pray. It's me and Brother Josh and Miss Tanya. Miss Hannah and KK and Addie and Jake. I think that was all that was left there. So we got in the floor together. Whenever we got in the floor together, I said, well, I'm going to try to pray for us. And Ma, that's what we called Miss Helen. Charles, Ma said, no, you ain't. You didn't argue with Ma if you knew Ma. I said, okay, Ma. I said, what we need to do? Ma said, my house, I'm praying. And I said, okay. And I'll never forget Miss Helen. She laid prostrate out on the floor in that living room that day. Boy, she went to praying. I ain't ever heard a Pentecostal preacher that could pray like that. Well, she prayed. And thank God for all the years that they had together and for all that God had done for them. And all I could do, we was all just laying there on the floor. If somebody drove by and looked in the window, they'd all thought we was drunk. We was on the Holy Ghost. All I could do was lay there and cry. You know what she was saying that day? The Lord gave, the Lord taketh away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. She remained obedient to the Word of God. She's at home in heaven today, but until then, there was times she didn't understand and we would sit down. She'd get angry. If you knew Ma, you just knew Ma. But always at the end of it, Brother Josh, she would humble down. She would cry, and we'd talk through it. We may not understand where we're at right now. We may not understand why God's put us there. But shall we tell you the best thing to do? Just remember, He knows where you're at. And just remember that the outcome of this thing is going to depend a lot on you. And remain obedient to the Word of God. You stay in that book. You stay in His house. You stay faithful, and I promise you, either here or there, Job 14:14, all the appointed days of my life will I wait until my change comes. Job said, either here or there, I'm going to come out of this storm. I'm going to come out of it.